Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse. Narrated by Peter Weller.
Author's note, 1961. Poetic writing can be understood and misunderstood in many ways. In most cases, the author is not the right authority to decide on where the reader ceases to understand and the misunderstanding begins. Many an author has found readers to whom his work seemed more lucid than it was to himself. Moreover, misunderstandings may be fruitful under certain circumstances. Yet it seems to me that of all my books, Steppenwolf is the one that was more often and more violently misunderstood than any other, and frequently it is actually the affirmative and enthusiastic readers, rather than those who rejected the book, who have reacted to it, oddly. Partly, but only partly, this may occur so frequently by reason of the fact that this book, written when I was 50 years old and dealing, as it does, with the problems of that age, often fell into the hands of very young readers. But among readers of my own age, I also repeatedly found some who, though they were impressed by the book, strangely enough, perceived only half of what I intended. These readers, it seems to me, have recognized themselves in Steppenwolf, identified themselves with him, suffered his griefs, and dreamed his dreams. But they have overlooked the fact that this book knows of and speaks about other things besides Harry Holler and his difficulties, about a second, higher, indestructible world beyond the Steppenwolf and his problematic life. The treatise, and all those spots in the book dealing with matters of the spirit, of the arts, and the immortal men, oppose the Steppenwolf's world of suffering with a positive, serene, superpersonal, and timeless world of faith. This book no doubt tells of griefs and needs. Still, it is not a book of a man despairing, but of a man believing. Of course, I neither can nor intend to tell my readers how they ought to understand my tale. May everyone find in it what strikes a chord in him and is of some use to him. But I would be happy if many of them were to realize that the story of the Steppenwolf pictures a disease and crisis, but not one leading to death and destruction. On the contrary, to healing. Hermann Hesse. A note on the translation, 1963. This is the first revised edition of Basil Creighton's translation of 1929. In the revision, we were intent upon a more exact and more readily understood rendition. British spellings and idioms have been Americanized, Germanisms removed, awkward sentences improved, and misleading translations corrected. Joseph Mylick, Horst Frenz. Preface. This book contains the records left us by a man whom, according to the expression he often used himself, we called the Steppenwolf. Whether this manuscript needs any introductory remarks may be open to question. I, however, feel the need of adding a few pages to those of the Steppenwolf in which I try to record my recollections of him. What I know of him is little enough. Indeed, of his past life and origins I know nothing at all. Yet the impression left by his personality has remained, in spite of all, a deep and sympathetic one. Some years ago, the Steppenwolf, who was then approaching 50, called on my aunt to inquire for a furnished room. He took the attic room on the top floor and the bedroom next to it, returned a day or two later with two trunks and a big case of books, and stayed 9 or 10 months with us. He lived by himself very quietly, and, but for the fact that our bedrooms were next door to each other, which occasioned a good many chance encounters on the stairs and in the passage, we should have remained practically unacquainted. For he was not a sociable man. Indeed, he was unsociable to a degree I had never before experienced in anybody. He was, in fact, as he called himself, a real wolf of the steppes, a strange, wild, shy, very shy, being from another world than mine. How deep the loneliness into which his life had drifted on account of his disposition and destiny, and how consciously he accepted this loneliness as his destiny, I certainly did not know.